This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The House Local Government's meeting to order. I'd like to welcome everybody in the audience and greet all of our internet listeners, if we have any. Hopefully we have a couple. Remind everyone that if you have your cell phone or computers on, make sure you have the volume turned down so they don't go off during committee. There's a penalty to pay if they do go off, which is either jerky or a contribution to the pheasant habitat. So with that, I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Barthel.
Here.
Chafee.
Here.
Schrock.
Here.
Freimuller. Excused. Greenfield.
Here.
Hammock.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Overwig.
Here.
Representative Reed is excused. Reimer?
Here.
Sullivan?
Here.
York?
I'm here.
Otten?
Here.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we have 11 members present. Oh, excuse, all right. Let's make that 12.
We do have a quorum. First item up is approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I have a first from Representative York, a second from Representative Chafee, approval of the minutes. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved, minutes are approved. All right, I'd like to remind the testifiers to sign in back there before you get up to speak. And lobbyists, please be wearing your badges and the appropriate ones. If there are any handouts, we'll utilize our pages for those, please. And at this time, I'd like to have our pages come up and introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name is Maddie Brink. I'm from Brookings. I'm a junior, and I hope to get an economics major, maybe a music minor, and then go to law school.
I'm Destiny Haas. I'm a senior at Parker High School, and I plan on going to Wayne State for marketing and graphic design.
Very good. All right, do we have any personal privileges from the committee? All right, not seeing any. Just a reminder that all the testimony and questions should be addressed through the chair. And then at this time, we are going to get into our agenda. And we're going to start with House Bill 1053, but just to let everybody know, House Bill 1050, we will not be hearing that today. I will be deferring 1050, which is the last one on your agenda. We'll see if we take that up next week, maybe. So, we'll start with HB 1053, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the submission process for ballot measures. At this time, we will take any proponent testimony.
Good morning, members of the
morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Kia Warren. I'm the division director for the Division of Elections in the Secretary of State's office. So in House Bill 1053, this is going to amend the language, how a sponsor submits a ballot question through LRC. To kind of give you a background information, in 2018, we had two sponsors that had different ballot measures. The sponsors have to submit their language to LRC first to get provided comments, and then those comments get sent over to our office and the Attorney General's office. The sponsors can take the style and form changes that LRC recommends, but they don't have to. And so at that point, the LRC staff will work on a fiscal impact if one is needed. And then that fiscal impact is given to the Attorney General. And what happened is both these sponsors submitted different language to the Attorney General's office than what was the written comments were written for. And so we, on the way the state law is written, we cannot approve any measure that does not have LRC comments. And so we worked with Director Hancock this last summer to try and figure out how we get those sponsors, if they're going to change their language from what they submitted to LRC, that they have to go back through LRC for LRC to determine if there's going to be a change to that fiscal impact. So that what the Attorney General is writing against matches what the fiscal impact statement was written for. And so that's just to clarify this, and we work with Director Hancock on the words. So when it talks about each submission or each version, that's saying that if the sponsor is going to submit a different version to the Attorney General's office, that it has to go back through LRC first. And then the director can determine whether the fiscal impact, there's no change to that. You know, maybe it was just something simple the sponsors changed language on. Or if it does require a new fiscal note, then they would write one for that.
All right. At this time, are there any other proponents? Do I have any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1053? Seeing none, we will move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1053? Seeing none, I'll waive the rebuttal and move into committee questions. Do I have any questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, I will close the public testimony portion and look for committee discussion and or action. Boy, you guys are quiet today. Yes, Representative Greenfield.
Second.
Thank you. And second was from Representative Sheevy. All right, I have a first from Representative Greenfield, a second from Representative Sheevy with the due pass recommendation on House Bill 1053. Do we have any comments on the motion? Seeing none, I will ask the Secretary to call the vote.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Overwig.
Aye.
Reed is excused. Reimer.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
The vote is 12 yea and 1 excused.
All right, with the affirmative vote of 12 to 0, House Bill 1053 will go to the floor with the due pass motion as passed out of committee. All right, this is eligible for consent. So I ask that to be on the consent calendar unless there are any objections.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Chafee.
Do you need a motion as such, or is that?
Nope, not anymore. Perfect. Just only if there's an objection, then we just note that. So, all right. I am going to ask somebody to take this to caucus and explain this today. Do I have any volunteers, or am I giving it to somebody? No, I've done the last three. So,
I can do it.
Representative York, will you take this to caucus and answer any questions? And on the floor if it happens to make it that way. All right, thank you. So now we will move on to House Bill 1054, an act to revise the documentation required for voter registration. And at this time, I will take proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Steve Barnett, Secretary of State for South Dakota. We have an amendment here that I'm not sure if it was passed out yet or not, but we'll get. Sorry.
Mr. Secretary, the amendment is online.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Has everybody figured out how to access that yet? All right. So let's just hand that paper copy out once so everybody has that. And then if you have a member sitting next to you that has figured it out and sitting next to somebody who has not, if we could kind of cross-reference it, and it's on the screen in front of you. LRC is doing a great job of putting that up there for all of us to see. And you can provide testimony on the bill and to your amendment.
Okay.
So please continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so what this does, we're adding the following language to clarify that a non-driver identification number can be used to register to vote. The other changes are style and form by the LRC staff. So Department of Safety does not differentiate between an active driver's license or an active non-driver identification number. The Federal National Voter Registration Act allows non-driver identification numbers for voter registration, and currently our voter registration file, Total Vote, has been processing non-driver identification numbers. Currently, our Uniformed Overseas Absentee Voting Act, which is known as the UOCAVA, the voter registration system has been processing the non-driver identification numbers as well. So this bill is just for clarification in statute that a person can use a driver's license number or a non-driver's license ID number. Just to give you a real-world example, my brother's now 40 years old. He's been using a non-driver. He doesn't drive. He uses a non-driver ID to vote since he's 18 years old for 22 years now. So, so that's really all it does.
Speak to the addition of the amendment.
Yeah. So, let's see here. Which one? So, if you could read here, so it's 12.4-5.5. It'll read, at the time voter registration information is transmitted from a county to the statewide voter registration file, the authenticity of the driver's license number or non-driver's identification number shall be verified with the driver's license database. So if the person has provided the last four digits of his or her Social Security number, the Social Security database shall be checked to determine that the number, name, and date of birth are accurate and that this information does belong to such person. If any of this information is reported as not being accurate, the county auditor shall withdraw the voter registration and attempt to get the correct information with the process provided in 12.4-5.3. And the State Board of Elections may promulgate rules pursuant to Chapter 126, determining the technical parameters for the driver's license and Social Security database verification. So it just cleans up the language there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. At this time, do we have any other proponent testimony? Do we have any other proponent testimony in House Bill 1054? Seeing none, I will move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony on House Bill 1054? Seeing none, I waive the rebuttal and move into committee questions. Representative Freimuller first. Representative Mulally. Well, you know what the deal with that is? You guys switched from last year. Yeah, you did. In my mind, you did. So, Representative Mulally.
Are we speaking on 1054, or are we speaking on 1054A right now?
At this time, it is open for questions on the bill and the amendment.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, I have a question on 1054. 12.4.5.4. It says registration information provided. On the original statute, it says registration, driver's license number or Social Security information required. That is nowhere in this bill. If you look at 1054A, 12.4.5.5, your title states verification of driver's license or Social Security number information. That is in statute. In 5.4, the very first line of what is in statute now is not listed on your bill. And to me, that would definitely be something that's very important to me, because as I read line 9, through line 11, it states, if a person does not have a valid South Dakota driver's license, a non-driver identification number, or a Social Security number, the person may only register at the county auditor's office and shall sign a statement. That's telling me someone who has not been identified has the ability to register to vote. Am I misunderstanding that?
Mr. Chair, that's a good question. We've only had one person since I've been in here when this law was put in place that they can go to the county auditor office and they have to identify themselves somehow. There's only been one person in the 24 years I've been in the election division that went to had to go to county auditor's office to fill out this statement.
Follow-up, Representative Mullally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like a follow-up. In the past, we haven't been in the particular societal society that we are now, allowing, we are, as you know, the governor has allowed the state to decide if they are going to allow refugees into our state. These refugees will not have any driver's license, non-identification, or Social Security number. And by this saying, by not having that very first line stating driver's license number or Social Security information required, and then on line 9 through 11 saying that you can register. I do agree that 1054 helps stating that you must verify the information that's given at the auditor's office before they're allowed to have their registration. Okay, I'm having a problem with this because to me it's telling me that anyone can register. Then we'll verify one way or the other because you don't have that first statement in there.
Mr. Chair, I need to go back and look at the National Voter Registration Act because I think the states had to include something in there for someone who doesn't have a driver's license or Social Security number. And so if that language is in there, we probably need to keep it in there or we'd be violating the NVRA Act. And I can look at that and get back to you on that.
Representative Mullally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just maybe clarification. On your bill, it says an act to revise the documentation required for voter registration. On line 4, it says 12-4-5.4, registration information provided. If you look at the actual statute now, it states 12-4-5.5, registration, driver's license number or Social Security information required. It's not on this bill. If you are correcting language and adding a non-driver identification number and you're following the statute, that first line of the statute is not included in your bill. And
all right.
It is included in the amendment.
Representative, we may have a little clarification from Claire and the LRC staff as that pertains to the catch line.
Okay. The line following the number is what we call the catch line. And new this year, they're being included in bills. Prior to that, we have not included them. And when we did the bill, the Code Council changed the catch line to match the contents of the section. And yeah, it doesn't have the force of law. It's the catch line. It just gives you an idea of what's in the section. And he changes them before the bill becomes part of the code. It's just a a tool to use to see what's in the section. It has no force of law. So that's why it was changed, because instead of just having the driver's license and the Social Security, they've now added the non-driver.
So does that answer your question with that? And clear, I mean, it has no force of law with that. It is just, you know, kind of like a basic description of what that paragraph will be or that chunk of code is.
Thank you for that clarification. And I do understand that it is the catchphrase. So rather than having the catchphrase state registration, driver's license number, non-driver identification number, and Social Security information required, they decided to do it in the context of the bill. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, and that's where it needs to be if you're going to add the force of law with it. The rest of it,
okay,
a bit of conjecture up top, but okay. Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this include the non-driver identification number, include tribal ID?
Mr. Chair, tribal IDs are not included because we have no way to validate the information. The HAVA Act, the Help America Vote Act, requires states to run a driver's license number, or they have to give the last four of the SSN or a non-driver ID number. The tribal governments, we've talked to them. Their tribal IDs are not the same throughout the state, and there's no way that for them to go through our system for us to be able to ping on something to see that that tribal identification, that date of birth, and that first and last name and middle name all match. So right now when you register to vote or update your registration, your driver's license number goes through DPS, Department of Public Safety's database. If you register with a non-driver ID, it'll be the same thing. If you register with the last four of your SSN, because you don't have either the other two identifications, the SSN goes through what's called AMVA, which matches that SSN, your date of birth, and your first and last name against the Social Security office database. So there has to be a way to have, all the tribes would have to be have the same kind of tribal ID to be able for us to create something where all of that data we could match somewhere to each tribe's database.
And if Sullivan?
So as far as somebody going to the county auditor's office, would they be able to utilize their tribal ID to verify themselves and sign that statement then, if they didn't have a driver's license, non-driver ID, or a Social Security number?
They would have to find, they would have to fill out that statement. But if they do have a Social Security number and they just don't know it, then they would be purging themselves, saying that they don't have either one of these numbers. So there are some Native Americans that do have Social Security numbers, and so they would just have to list the last four on the voter registration form.
Follow-up, Representative.
So if they did have a Social Security number and did not realize it and went to the county auditor's office to sign the piece of paper so that they could register to vote, then what would happen for them? I mean, would they be in trouble, or, I mean, would it?
Chair. Again, we've only had one person ever go and do that. The driver's license number and the SSN have been in place for years, and it does allow for them to use the SSN number. But if someone went and registered to vote and they did have a Social Security number, the statement they sign, they're swearing under oath, penalty and perjury, that they do not have any of these numbers.
Representative Sullivan.
Okay, so, I mean, if they did not, if a person truly and honestly did not realize they had a Social Security number and wanted to register to vote without any of those things, and then it, I mean, how would you remedy that if they were like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I had a Social Security number for whatever reason? How would you remedy that? and allow them to still register to vote and not be charged with perjury.
Mr. Chair, the county auditor won't know that they didn't have a Social Security number, or if they did, they didn't remember that they had one. So it would only be if there was someone who challenged that voter registration, and that would be up to the state's attorney in that county to handle. I don't know how that would play out.
Sure.
So at the county auditor's office, if somebody was to go in and not have any of these, would they be able to look up if they did have a Social Security number so that they wouldn't potentially be charged with perjury?
Mr. Chair, I think they would have to go to the Social Security office to see if they have a Social Security number. The auditor won't be able to look that up. All those verifications are done with programming in the system, and so it just pings against those databases.
Oh, I think I got to go left here first. Representative Hammack, did you have a question? Okay.
The word valid is used extensively here. Tell me what that really means. If I were working in your office and I wanted to say this is valid, does that mean it falls within a date range, or is it got all the names that need to be there? What does that word valid actually mean to the working people in the auditor's office? When you say a valid license, ID, what does that contain? Thank you,
Mr. Chair, that means that they have a current valid driver's license number at that time. You have to have a current driver's license or a current non-driver ID to register to vote so that it pings against the driver's license database.
Follow-up, Representative Hammack.
Thank you. Just for the event of a new employee, is that actually defined somewhere so that they know what they're looking for to recognize it as being valid or invalid?
Mr. Chair, there's no definition of valid in Title 12 that I know of.
Thank you, ma'am.
Representative Freimuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if they don't have a valid driver's license or a valid non-driver identification number, and they go to the auditor's office, do they have to provide a photo to show that their picture matches a social? Because of the database that's been held for years, you'd think you could track a photo to a social. So that, does the auditor's office have that? And what about an address? I mean, if they don't have any information, you know, that they're taking to the auditor, but the last four of somebody's social, how are you going to know what area to register them in to vote? When I go, and you guys all know how I feel about driver's licenses. Yeah. Don't worry, I'll bring it back again sometime. You're welcome. I just want to make you guys all smarter. That's my goal. Anyway, if I have to take two forms of mail to prove that I live in an address, I mean, this is just, oh, here, you can vote. It's not important enough that they get a driver's license. It's not important enough that they get the non-driver identification number, but they care to vote, so they want to be a registered voter. And then when you say you've only had one claim that you've had to follow up on, how do you know there aren't other ones, you just haven't found them yet?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, that's kind of a long-winded question. Yes. With a lot of discussion in it, so yes. If you would attempt to answer that.
So if they don't have the driver's license number, non-driver ID, or the last four of the Social Security number, and they go register to vote, they have to fill out a statement, and then they also have to fill out the voter registration form. And that will show their address and all that information. And you don't, when you go to the driver's license, the two forms of ID for your residence is for your, to prove that you're at that address for your driver's license. there's nothing in state law that requires someone to give two forms of a utility bill or a lease or a rental property on where they live. That's for you to get your driver's license. The voter registration form is just on the bottom portion of that because of the National Voter Registration Act requires it to be on that same form as your driver's license. So if someone goes to the driver's license and fails the exam, they can still register to vote without providing any more information to the driver's licensing staff.
Okay. Representative Freimuller?
Well, maybe I'm getting a little confused then, because I still think that there should be something other than me telling somebody these are the last four of my social and signing a name, because a lot of us know people's social security numbers and names, and not that I would ever do it, but how do you follow up if there's no, again, photo or something to say, yes, Rebecca's a twin and I'm a twin. I assume you know your sisters and I know mine. I'm just saying, how I can sign something, but how do you know that I'm not lying? And how do you follow up to catch somebody who could be?
Well, if Mr. Chair, if you are trying to register someone else, you're already violating a federal law. I'm assuming your twin would know if you change their registration. When they go vote, I mean, if you try to change their party or an address, their name, date of birth, and Social Security number all have to match, which if you know the last four, you could do that. But I'm assuming the next time that person goes to register to vote or goes to vote on Election Day and they see something's changed on their party or whatever, that voter would realize that at that time. But if you have a Social Security number, you don't go sign the statement at the county auditor's office. You would register on the paper application. You wouldn't need to go to the auditor's office just because you only have your SSN and you don't have one of the other driver ID numbers.
Okay. Representative Overweight.
Yeah, hey, I'm not trying to make, thank you, Mr. Chair, I'm not trying to make this longer, but I'm sitting here thinking, and I don't know the answer, is who doesn't have a Social Security number? Evidently, if you're in the tribe, you don't. I mean, if that's, but other than that, who doesn't have a Social Security number?
Mr. Chair, there are people who go through the citizenship program to become a United States citizen. I don't know how many of them are issued Social Security numbers, but there are some people that probably don't have them. And we met with the Department of Public Safety last night, and she said there are some people that do not have a Social Security number, and that's an option for them with the federal government not to have that Social Security number.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're saying that you can become a citizen of the United States, and when you become a citizen, you have the option to not have a Social Security card, because I can't get a job without one. I can't buy insurance without one. So that is an option, is what you're saying? Thank you.
I believe some of them that go through the citizenship program will have some other type of federal government ID number. But I would have to talk, I'd have to talk to DPS on how that is.
Representative York.
I had so many questions are sparking into my head, but I'll ask the one that I was thinking of originally, and that's, as it gets closer to the election, we'll see registration tables set up at the mall, at the zoo, at everywhere you go, you see somebody registering voters. Are all those people that are at the table, these random folks that are sitting with registration books, have they all been instructed what they have to do? I mean, you've got some pretty good things there. To me, it looks like they're just signing their name and putting down their party, and they're registered. Is there an instruction course for the these folks that are registering?
Mr. Chair, majority of people registering voters are usually through the parties, and the parties do contact us to get information and get the most current voter registration form from our office, and we do have a driver's registering voter driver instructions that they have to follow. You also have, like, high school government teachers registering their students to vote if they're 18 years old. There's other outside groups that do mailings to get people registered to vote, but we do not have a state law requiring them to go through any training or class. And that voter, again, the voter registration form is on our website. They have to list their name, their address, their Social Security number or non-driver ID card number, their full date of birth, and then they have to sign under oath, again, under penalty of perjury on that registration card.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Greenfield's up next, but I know Representative Reimer has to leave. Is there time for her question before yours, before you have to go? Okay, I'll let you go first then.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. When we were talking about Social Security numbers, who doesn't have a Social Security number, what I can tell you, and I don't know the official name of it, but when they are not a U.S. citizen, they usually do have a federal tax number. I just can't tell you what the name of it is, but I have personal experience with this with someone in my family, so I do know that they have some type of number, but it's not called Social Security number, but it is a registration number. That's all I have.
Thank you. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the non-driver ID. Do they have to be updated in a certain period of time? Or is it the same number all the way through?
Mr. Chair. I believe they do have expiration dates just like driver's license numbers. I can follow up with Jane Schrank at DPS and get back to you on that.
Okay. Just a follow-up then?
Yes.
Okay. My question was that, so I will wait for your answer. And then also, any time that the non-driver gets married, say they're single and got their non-driver card, they get married, would they have to update, you know, right away, or how does that work? So I'll just wait for your answer later.
Okay, do we have any further questions? Representative Schwach.
Looking at this statute, is this the only information that needs to be provided in order to be registered to vote? Are there other things that they have to provide in order to register?
Mr. Chair, everything they need to provide is on the registration form. That is on our website, if you want to go look at that. There's quite a bit of information they have to provide on there.
Yep.
Well, I'm looking at the voter registration form, and I guess this may be more of a comment, and I want to understand the statute. You know, the form says that the driver's license number is required, but as I read this statute, it's not necessarily required. You could use the last four of your Social Security number, but I think, am I reading the statute correctly in saying that it's more of an either-or than a driver's license but Social Security number?
Mr. Chair, yeah, it's an either or. And we'll be clarifying it on the voter registration form in the spring rules hearing to add the non-driver language as well. And so we'll probably just make that language say driver's license number, non-driver ID number, or last four of your SSN.
Thank you. No further questions.
Representative Mullally.
Two-part, I have a question for the LRC staff, but for the Secretary of State's office. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for recognizing me again. You state that when they go to the auditor's office, they just have to provide that information, Social Security number or whatever. But you're stating here that if they have none of the three that you have listed here, driver's license, non-driver, or Social Security number, that they can still fill out a form at the auditor's office. But they don't have to provide any verification of their address. at the auditor's office. You, however, did state, if you go to the driver's license, DMV, you're required to give at least two forms of verification of where you live. So I am standing in front of the auditor, and I have no driver's license, no non-driver, and no Social Security number, but I don't have to provide two forms of where I live to fill out the voter registration? Clarify that for me, please.
Mr. Chair, again, when you go to driver's licensing and you give them the two forms of your address verification, that's to get your driver's license. There's nothing in state law that requires you to provide information on your address. However, when that registration card or when that registration gets processed by the county auditor, it verifies all those checks that we talked about, even checks if you're convicted of a felony, if you're deceased, all those, or if you're declared mentally incompetent by a court of law. All those validation checks happen. And then the next morning, if that everything clears, the auditor will add that voter, and then a acknowledgement card of that voter registration is sent to that address. If they do not, if it does not get delivered, then they send out a second notice, and if that doesn't get delivered, then that voter is not registered.
Short follow-up.
So we're clear with that, though.
Yes.
Currently in statute, there is no requirement, and they're not making any changes to that.
Right.
Okay.
Completely understand that.
Follow-up.
No, my second part of my question for the LRC staff.
Okay.
In the, would you call that line, title line?
Catch line,
thank you. In the bill itself, you say the catch line is not, doesn't have anything to do. But in the amendment, it doesn't have non-driver's license in the catch. So should driver's license and Social Security be in that catch line?
No, it should not. The code counsel hasn't reviewed the amendment, so once it made part of the bill, then he'll do his work on the catch line.
Thank you.
Representative Hammack.
Ma'am, is anybody checking to see if a person is a convicted felon? And I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just wondering if that's anywhere in the process. I have, in past years, in my campaigning, go to a house, knock on a door, someone says, I'm a convicted felon. I'm not sure where you would find that without searching the court records. So, simple question, is that anything that falls in your domain?
Mr. Chair, yep. When that voter registration information is sent through the verification checks during the evening, it pings against the United States or the South Dakota judicial system. And if they are currently serving a felony conviction, that gets kicked back to the auditor in a home queue item, and they send that person a notice that they cannot be registered because they're currently serving a sentence.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions? Representative Freimuller, something pertinent?
You said currently serving for the convicted. Thank you, Mr. Chair, by the way. When Representative Hammack asked you, you said if they're about convictions, you said currently serving. But if you are a convicted felon, I mean, you cannot vote for like 10 years or how long is the, it depends on the felony, but I mean, I know you can't for years in some cases.
Mr. Chair, in South Dakota, our law allows a person who was convicted of a felony, completed their entire sentence with fines, fees, restitution, all of that. Once they're done with that entire sentence, they can go register to vote again in South Dakota. There are some states that don't allow them to ever register to vote again, but South Dakota is not one of those states.
In fear of asking, do you have a follow-up, Representative? No. Do we have any further questions? All right. Seeing no further questions, I am going to close public testimony and move into committee discussion and or action. And I knew there was going to be a lot of questions with this bill. So discussion and or action by the committee, please. Sure. Representative Hammack.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. I'd like to compliment the presenters. They've been very thorough, I think, in answering our questions. I also, from years of law enforcement, some of these rules are to deter something, well, voter fraud, essentially. And I believe that the large majority of people are complying or trying to comply with what the statutes say or the rules say. And every now and then you'll run into someone that has a nefarious motivation. But for the most part, we do rely on people to abide by the law. And I think that's really clear in the voting world, particularly in South Dakota. I think we make the best effort at that. So thank you.
And let's not, before we move into the action, let's not forget about the amendment that should be moved first if the committee so chooses. So anybody want to offer a motion up to move the amendment, and then we can deal with the bill as a whole?
Mr. Chair?
Who was that? Representative? Frymuller? Mulally. I do this all the time. You two are going to have to, like, dye your hair or cut your hair or something.
I wear glasses. She doesn't.
That's true.
That's true.
Representative Mulally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would like to give kudos to the Secretary of State's office for indulging me with my questions, because voter registration is something that is an American right, and we need to protect that at all times. So your system in South Dakota is top-notch. So thank you for taking care of that. And I would move to I do pass on the Amendment 1054A.
I have a first.
Second.
On the amendment. And the second came from Representative Chafee. All right, so I have a first to move Amendment 1054A and a second by Representative Chafee. Any comments on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so moved. Okay, now we're on to the bill as a whole. Do we have any further discussion on the bill as amended and or any action?
Chairman.
Representative Chafee.
Make a motion to do pass.
Second. All right. I have a first by Representative Chafee, a second by Representative Hammack with the due pass motion on House Bill 1054 as amended. Do we have any discussion on that motion by the committee or any of the members to make a motion? Seeing none, I will have the secretary call the vote.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Frymuller.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mulally.
Aye.
Overweight.
Aye.
Reed is excused. Reimer. Okay. Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
We have 11 to 1, 11 to 2 non-voting.
All right, by affirmative vote of 11 to 1, House Bill 1054 is amended.
It's 10 to 1.
That's right, because we're missing.
Yeah.
So by a vote of 10 to 1, House Bill 1054 is amended. We'll hit the floor with a due pass motion. And so, like I said, I knew that one was going to be a little bit of a talker. So anytime we're talking about voter registration, you know, there's always going to be some secondary questions that come up with that and for making changes to it. So with that, Do I have a volunteer to take this to the floor for the Secretary of State's office? Representative Chafee, I would greatly appreciate that. And then Secretary of State's office, you may want to get with the good representative and expand those talking points so he can cover some of those areas. And then there were a couple questions and provide him and those representatives who asked those questions with that information before the hearing would probably be helpful for you guys. So with that, do we have anything else for the good of the committee? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Representative Chafee, second from Representative Hammack. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. We are adjourned, and thank you.